You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up and welcome to another episode of the Grindline Podcast. This is episode 269. Nice. I am your host, Craig. I am here tonight with Ryan. I mean, nice and not nice. The Red Wings are tied with the Caps right now. Second period with 9 minutes and 40 seconds left in a must-win game.
So what an incredible night to record. Oh, my God.
Right. Oh, man.
Robbie Fabry can't catch a fucking break.
We're going to be reacting in real time to this game because it's truly a 4-point game, and it's a team that just passed us by 1 point in the standings. So we are out of the playoffs as of right now by a single point. If we win this point, or if we win this game, we will jump Washington again to get back into the wild card spot. And it's what you consider a 4-point game. We win, we get 2 points. They lose 2 points to people they're right up next to. So it's a super important game. There is other news in Red Wings land. Ryan, how are you in the midst of this absolutely stressful time of the year?
Well, as you can see, I'm in a different location for a change because I wanted to watch this game on the big screen. So I am downstairs in the basement. So outside of being stressed to high hell because of this game, I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. I thought you were going to say you're downstairs just in case we lose. You're closer to all the alcohol.
Well, that too, as you can see over my right shoulder. There is a lot, and there's more right there. Beautiful.
Ryan's just going to show off his basement now. So those of you who aren't watching on YouTube, you can go check it out. But off the top, I'm good, by the way. I'm great, besides the child not wanting to sleep. But we are doing a Detroit Red Wings Lucas Raymond away jersey giveaway. So if you go over to our Twitter page, sub to us on YouTube, like, retweet, and then tag a couple friends, you'll be entered. It ends next Wednesday, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, I think, or Monday. It ends in like a week.
It had April in there. That's all I remember.
Yeah, but the contest is running over on Twitter. So you can go find it on Twitter, enter the contest. You could win yourself a free Lucas Raymond away jersey. It's not Fanatics, so don't worry about
never
that.
Never will be.
It will be one of the remaining stock at Vintage Detroit, who we also have our exclusive t-shirt collection through. But I'm
going to we're gonna have to eventually do giveaways where they're like outsourced on eBay or something, and we'll have to find Adidas or CCMs and buy them and then give them away or some shit like that.
Jersey giveaways are going to be so much more involved.
It's
going to
be a Red Wings mystery box. That's what it's going to turn into.
And if Ryan sounds muffled, it's because he's using AirPods instead of his actual microphone.
I don't trust my laptop, so I don't know how the speaker would be on there, and you probably hear every bit of the game.
So what we're going to talk about real quick, we're going to do some Red Wings housekeeping news before we move on to kind of the playoff race and where the Red Wings are at in the standings right now. The first bit of news that came up is the Detroit Red Wings on the 25th of March, so yesterday, reassigned Jonathan Berggren to the Grand Rapids Griffins. He was not playing games. He kept his waiver. They didn't play him purposefully to keep his waiver eligibility. He will go to Grand Rapids. He will help them get to the playoffs and in their playoff race. In 43 games in Grand Rapids this season, he has 19 goals and 27 assists for 46 points. In 12 games with the Red Wings, has 2 goals and 4 assists for 6 points. The only thing is that I feel like this is like the nail in the coffin for Berggren. You called him up. I do, because you called him up and you kind of give him like the hope that, hey, if they didn't want me here to help them push for the playoffs, they wouldn't call me up. And they play him a couple games and then they sit him and then they send him back. And it was already rumored out there that he had kind of like said no to an extension already. He declined what they were offering him. And I just feel like if he couldn't stick through this, where the Red Wings went on some bad stretches and they were playing bad hockey, and then we go to Nashville and we lose a 1-0 game, which still pisses me off because of people standing around doing nothing. But you didn't play him there. And then you send him back to Grand Rapids. And granted, it's because he's waiver eligible and he can help that team move further.
Still, because they didn't play him an extra game like we're talking about, which allowed him to make that free pass.
I get it. But the word was that he didn't sign the contract because he wanted a permanent NHL spot. It doesn't feel good.
No, it doesn't. But I mean, they still own his rights, which in that sense is a positive. So they still control the cards there in that sense. When you look at some of the guys and how they've been playing a late, like especially some of the veterans, like you're telling me that Fergie as a third, fourth line guy isn't going to do a little bit better than maybe a Perron in a depth role, or a Fabry making $4 million on your fourth line. You traded Clint Costin because he was costing you too much to be on the bench on your fourth line. What's stopping you from making moves with somebody else, even if it's just a scratch?
I just wonder, if they're valuing someone else in the system higher. Someone that's got the same kind of skill set, but adds a little bit more. Like we had talked about Carter Mazur. If you're replacing someone like a Perron, would you rather have a Mazur in the lineup, or would you rather have a Berggren in the lineup?
It's frustrating because I've made a lot of comparisons the way he's kind of been played out to Gus Nyquist, because every time we thought he was going to crack the lineup back in the day, it just never happened. And then boom, now he's your everydayer. And it worked out great. Obviously, he's the guy that you look back who you've lost, and I still wouldn't mind him in Detroit, even though he's gone his own way. And it just feels eerily similar to that, where it's either he's getting a spot out of the camp next year, which I think he would absolutely 100% earn one, or he's traded at the draft. I feel like there's not going to be any in between.
Yeah, I think the other thing people were talking about was, well, you have another player who's in a similar kind of situation in Albert Johansson, to where he's like 23 years old. He's still in the AHL. He's good enough to be playing in the NHL. And you just bring up a guy like Edvinson. There's no way, I don't think, that Edvinson is going back to the AHL. Edvinson, in these few games that he's been in, has been an absolute difference maker, both offensively and defensively. A couple missteps, sure, but that is going to happen with your first stint in the NHL, your first real stint in the NHL. But other than that, I mean, he's got the reach, he's got the speed, he's boxing players out, he's doing what you need him to do, and he's making a difference. Now,
he's had a few oops out there, but sure. At the same time, he's also on the ice, like right now, they've got him and with Petrie out there against Oshie and Ovechkin. So they're trusting him to go out. He's also been on a penalty kill. Like, he's being entrusted to go do big things. It's not easy.
But if you look at a guy like Johansson, who's in a Berggren-style kind of situation, where are you going to make that room? Can you trade a hole in the offseason? Can you buy out a Petrie? We found that a Petrie buyout wouldn't be that terrible.
No, and you actually, you don't necessarily screw him over, but you pin what, Montreal and the Penguins on for another season, two more seasons.
Yeah, you give a little bit of money to, you add some money on, not some money on, but you add some years on to there to the Penguins and the Canadiens by doing a Jeff Petrie buyout.
Yeah, I think the Habs are equal in terms of the cost as what we would pay, and then the Pens are just a little bit less.
That would be another option to open up a spot, or trade Olimata. That would be another option. And Olimata is absolutely a player, a depth defenseman someone would take. I don't think there'd be an issue with trading him out. Are you going to get a big return? No. But if you're doing it just to free up a spot, you're trying to free up a spot. I don't think there's any situation where you can, in good conscience, ice Jeff Petrie next season. The missteps are so large that even if you say it's veteran presence and it's depth, it's just not worth it when he channels his inner Jonathan Erickson and goes pylon for a good 5 minutes. and ends up be directly like him and Michael Rasmussen were the reason you lost that Nashville game. The puck drops, they stare at it, no one moves, and then you lose the game 1-0. So I don't think you can in any good conscience ice Jeff Petrie. You have to put Edvinson in full time. You have to find a way to bring Johansson in. But I still think that Berggren is the odd man out. I think you trade his rights in the offseason and he goes on to have a good NHL career and you get pieces for him.
Yeah, and you get a decent pick, I think, is the way I'll put that. I don't think you're going to get anything else fantastic.
I'm not even looking at a pick. Player. I'm looking to package him for a effective player.
I think it would work.
If you trade him and a first and another piece for a top six forward?
Or are you going top six forward, or are you somehow trying to pull on a top four defenseman?
I would say I'm looking at a top six forward at that point. If you can kind of move it around a little bit. When Jake Walman gets back, you got Walman, Sider. You can move Schrott to the right, and you could go Edvinson, Schrott. And you could go Johansson and whoever's the leftover defenseman, whether that's Mata, whether you can't get rid of Hole, it's and then you carry the extra. So you can make the room, but I think you need a impactful top six forward.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's not, and a lot of that speaks to whether or not are you bringing back Perron? Are you bringing back Patrick Kane? Or do they want to come back for that matter? All the signs kind of point to yes on both sides. I would be, after especially his latest stretch, not too terribly upset if David Perron moved on. But tonight, he's hopefully having a resurgence because he's not actually just dumping the puck every time he gets a hold of it.
Was already took a stupid penalty.
Well, he did. He got that out of the way early, so let's just hope it sticks that way. There's big decisions to be made that are going to impact this team because next year is the turning point. And we've kind of talked about this the last couple of years that right around now, 2023-ish, give or take plus or minus one, this next offseason is the biggest one of Yzerman's tenure, hands down. Like this team, the expectation will be absolutely has to make playoffs. This year is, I think, icing on the cake as to where they're at, but they should also be, if they would have just gone freaking 500 during that stretch, or even won just three games during that losing streak, they'd be right behind Toronto in the looking at third place like Tampa is right now. It's just ridiculous.
So the only other side of that, and just talking about just filling out the roster in the offseason, you got to figure that the Red Wings will have around $29 million in cap space. If you're giving Mo Sider an $8 to $8.5 million contract, if you're giving Lucas Raymond a $7 to $7.5 million contract, if Patrick Kane agrees to take a $4 million deal, what that's going to leave you with is around $10 million, between $8.5 to $10 million to sign someone. So you're going to have the money there. You're going to have pieces to trade there, whether you pick someone up as a UFA in the UFA class. You say you go after Steven Stamkos. And maybe that's the way you round out. Now, that makes your team older, but moving in younger guys will help balance that out. You're right. It's going to be a huge offseason and that there are moves to make. And we'll look probably next week a little bit more at the free agent class and see what we might be able to do in the summer as an upgrade. But there will be big decisions to make. One of the decisions they did make today, though, is the Detroit Red Wings signed center Emmett Finney to a 3-year entry-level contract beginning in the 2024-25 season. The Grand Rapids Griffins also immediately signed him to an amateur tryout as soon as he was signed by the Red Wings. So he will be able to finish his season out in Grand Rapids and help them make a push. I checked Elite Prospects. Elite Prospects doesn't have him listed as a center. They have him listed as a left wing. Uh-huh. But he was drafted in 2023. Round 7, pick 201, and in 62 games played for the Kamloops Blazers in the WHL, had 59 points. And he's kind of your, what I would consider your dark horse kind of player. If you're talking dark horse and guys who are late round picks who really stepped up in the next year, Kamloops was one of the worst teams in the WHL, and he killed his previous season.
He'll put up a point per game?
In 2022-23, in 64 games played, he had 35 points this season.
I'm sorry, I'm thinking of this season.
Objectively worse team, 62 games played, 59 points. So
yeah, almost a point per game player. That's amazing. And we've seen what moving a guy. I mean, it's great that he made it out, because we saw what Danielson was going through with a team that was struggling, and he just hit it off. But he was still putting up points, arguably, like what you just described. So that's awesome.
So he is still 18 years old, which is good. Huge. He's born in June. So he was a young draftee, is what he was. He was on the very young side.
That's 18.
The draft was the 28th and the 29th, and he turned 18 on the 27th. So he turned 18.
What a birthday gift.
A day before the draft, which is like, that's as young, I think, as you can get to be draft eligible, which is the day before. But he is 6'1", 183 pounds, and he's just, I mean, you watch him at the prospect.
That's a big boy for 18.
Yeah, it's big. And you watched him at the prospect tournament, and he had a good tournament. And he was one of the guys who was constantly being effective, and he was noticeable on the ice. So he's one that you hope maybe could turn into an eventual NHL player in a depth center role, maybe a Joe Valeno replacement, because I'm not sure if Joe Valeno sticks around in the offseason. But
I don't know.
It's another guy that you've got in your back pocket. And if he hits, and if it's another seventh round pick that hits, and it's still yet to be seen if Elmer Soderblom will ever get a spot, but it would be another like very late round draft pick that gets an NHL shot when people are now complaining about Steve Yzerman's draft ability.
If you complain about Yzerman's draft, I can't take you seriously, because all you have to do is go back to when he entered the league as a GM at Tampa. And look at the history there. He's drafted some of the best players in hockey right now, that are playing right now. We've talked about this just recently. Like, I don't understand how you can get pissed off at the picks that he's made. And we're not, because we're seeing the impact even now on the ice right now. Like, what are you expecting, right? Is it because it's not a top three pick? It's not a Connor McDavid? Is that what they're pissed off about?
No, the complaint is that it boils down to, well, where are they? Oh, we don't see them on the team. Where are they?
Sorry that an 18-year-old kid isn't ready to play grown man hockey.
I think what a lot of people don't realize is that outside of generally lottery picks, players take a few years to develop unless the team is really desperate, like Buffalo, and just can ice a prospect because they don't have that depth on their roster to play a vet or to play someone who's better, that prospect is their best chance, and look where they're at. I would rather not Michael Rasmussen my prospects and let them get that extra development time than rush them in. But that's been the main complaint, is just, well, he's drafted all these people and we don't see them, and when are we going to see them? And it's your starting. So you see Edvinson now. And you saw Sider, you see Raymond, you see the guys who got that little bit of extra time, and they clearly benefited from it. So, oh, look, David Perron scored.
David Perron. Look at that.
Of a shift.
Just got to keep talking shit. Fabry couldn't score. He missed again. Perron finally takes out the trash. Let's go.
Chaos in front of the net. And that's what I think you need to do on this Washington team. Is just get them frustrated, get them down low, put Lindgren on his back, and just keep firing pucks. So the Red Wings go up 2-1 on the Caps. Again, must-win game.
What a fucking handful of saves, though, by Lindgren right there. The first one on Fabry.
He's playing for his life, Ryan.
Full extension stretch, and then he just lays there, goes freaking Dominik Hasek across the crease. Detroit still can't get anything, and then Perron manages to get the puck a little bit loose down along the goal line and fires it through the arms. Like, what a freaking goal. And on the power play, no less.
It's chaos. Like I said, those are the goals, kind of goals you need to get against this team in any way you can. You just got to cause chaos in front of the net. And the other half of it is to shut down Ovi. But back to the whole Yzerman thing, I just think give it another two seasons. You'll start to see the guys come in. And the other half of the argument is complaining about Yzerman just filling the room with vets and not giving the kids a shot. And I understand where people are coming from. People are, again, impatient. We haven't been in the playoffs in a very long time. But when we get there, we want to be there consistently. We don't want to waste player development.
You don't want to try.
Well, yeah, we don't want to be a one and done. We don't want to be a Vegas where every year we're just sacrificing all our picks and trading away players consistently to just try. And because what's going to happen is Vegas had no pool to begin with, and their pool is going to keep diminishing and their picks are going to keep diminishing. And it's just when they have to rebuild, which is kind of crazy to say because their team's new, but when they have to rebuild, they're going to go into the hell slump. And I don't know what's going to happen there. So we're trying, Eisen, we've said it before, and we'll say it till we're blue in the face. Eiserman's trying to build a Tampa. He's trying to build the original Red Wings when we started making the playoffs again, where we were in it for 25 years. He's trying to do that again. And if you're not patient and you just want a one and done, I don't know what to tell you because I don't think that's worth it.
No. And then you're just going to get more pissed off because you're not consistently good. Like look at the season that Lucas Raymond is having right now. Like this speaks to, look at the season. You can argue that it's been up and down for Mo Sider, but he's top 10 in the league in block shots and probably facing the most difficult deployment of, he's easily facing the most difficult deployment in terms of who he's up against every night in the entire league. It's the debate of the century at this point, whether or not he's a top tier defenseman. I think that he absolutely can be. And I think that's where hopefully next season we have a more solidified top four where he's not getting ran into the ground and we can start seeing him utilized better in the offensive zone because that'd be great. We know
it's the deployment. We know it's a deployment issue.
But then you look at what Simon Evans has done. Did we want him up earlier in the season? Because we've been bitching about Jeff Petrie since, you know, November. Yeah. But at the same time, the word that I always go back to that Eiserman has said since day one is patience. Are we always patient? No. But look what this is doing for a guy like Ed to come in. He's on the penalty kill. We haven't seen him on the power play yet. That's partly because Gostisbehere is out there and that's his role. I think in the future, next season, with Ghost, if he's not brought back, you're going to see Edmonton potentially in that role. Huge. That's awesome.
That's exciting.
He's doing it, and he's running a freaking great power play that's out of Grand Rapids. That's what you want. And then you throw Raymond in there. He's popping off. Sider's popping off. You've got guys knocking on the door. Casper and Mazur are having great years. They're being healthy as well. Johansson, arguably, like what we talked about. We don't know which way that could go. Yes. Bergie's included in all this. He's had a great year at Grand Rapids again. But again, I'm not going to write all these guys off until they're actually gone, traded, and or released. So the potential internally is amazing. And guess who we haven't even freaking talked about? The guy that played like, what, 40 minutes tonight in Axel Sandin Pelikka over in Sweden, who's 18 years old, that just scored a game-winning triple overtime goal to help his team in the playoffs.
Nate Danielson, too.
Nate Danielson was the next one on my list. We haven't been talking about him hardly. We've mentioned him once, I think, earlier. There is so much potential in this pipeline that to what you mentioned earlier, you're not wanting the one and done. You've got an extended period of time that we're looking at the next 10 to 15 years if things can somehow work out where a majority of these guys are going to be on this roster.
Yeah, and if they're not, you've got high-value pieces that you can use to acquire other talent. So it's 4D chess. There's a lot of people right now.
We know that Eisenman will trade. He's not afraid to go trade a top player to get another top player.
The people in the comments are playing checkers, and Eiserman's out there playing 4D chess. So we understand. Are we a little bit impatient? Sure. But are we impatient while being realistic?
Our show relies on the entertainment, so I'll take it.
Yeah, let's just get mad. What we're going to do real quick is we're going to take a break for a word from DraftKings. We'll be back. We're going to talk about the standings. We're going to talk about strength of schedule. And where do we really go from here? But at the end of the second period, the Red Wings are up 2-1 on the Capitals. And it's just, we'll see what happens. So we'll be back with after this word from DraftKings. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. And right now, we might be taking the Red Wings to lock up that second wild card position in the East. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-878-9777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. And we're back, and we're going to finish tonight's episode by talking a little bit about the standings currently, kind of what we need to do to end the season, and then our strength of schedule going forward. So right now, and again, we are playing Washington right now. By the time you listen to this, the game will be over, and the standings will have shifted either toward our favor or against our favor.
We're going to tease the ending of this.
Yeah, right now the Red Wings have 71 games played, have 78 points. The Washington Capitals, 70 games played, 79 points. They are in the second wild card position. We are not. If we win tonight, so you're either listening to this and you're really happy because we won and we took our spot, or you're listening to this and you're real upset because we lost. And then that's just a bigger hill we have to climb. But what we're looking at now is strength of schedule. So right now, the Detroit Red Wings have the ninth hardest strength of schedule in the East. We have to play the New York Rangers, the Florida Panthers, the Carolina Hurricanes, the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Tampa Bay Lightning. And then we have two games against the Habs, one against the Pens, one against the Sabres, and two against the Caps. And I think it's counting the one Caps game right now because I think we only play them one other time. Yeah. So one of these is one of the, what they consider an easy opponent. The Caps have the 10th hardest strength of schedule in the East remaining. So they're right behind us. So they have an easier schedule for us going forward, but not much easier. They just have to play the Sens and the Flyers. So it depends on what kind of night the Flyers are having. The Sens are awful. So it's really going to, I think, come down to the wire. And you might see the last spot literally on the last day separated by 2 points or by a point. It could absolutely happen. Now, did we dig ourselves in our own hole? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But Ryan, you had said on, what was it, the 17th, that March we needed 17th. To win nine of our last 14?
Between 9 or 10 of their last 14 games, Detroit needed a win. And the math, I think, when I did that, was to put them at 92 to 94 points.
Since you said that, we have won two and lost one. We beat the Blue Jackets. We beat the Islanders, which was a huge game. And we lost to the Preds, which that was a game we should have at least gotten a point out of. But shit the bed in the last like 2 minutes of the game, 5 minutes of the game, whatever it was. But now you're up against the Caps, 4-point game, and you're winning.
Going into the third, which is a thing that you need to have because you're one of the best in hockey with it.
You take this game and you create that buffer. And again, if you look at the teams around you that are chasing, you've kind of just not blown the doors down, but you've got a 3-point gap with the Islanders with the same amount of games played. The way the Islanders are, they're either very hot or they're very cold. And I think they just lost again. And it's the new coach, Patrick Waugh, is kind of worn off. And I don't see, what I see is now the race is us and Washington. And who gets there first and who just keeps playing hot. The bad part is that Ovi is again back to like prime Ovi form at like the worst time for us.
What did I say earlier? He's got, I think it was 9 points over his last six or something games, and 8 of those points are goals. So he's found the scoring touch all over again.
Yeah, which is really, really unfortunate. Terrifying.
But Sider's been doing his part. He's got a block shot on one of his blasts, so keep it going. One more period.
But after this game, you've got the Hurricanes. You're at the Hurricanes, you're at the Panthers, and you're at the Lightning. Those are three teams right now that are really good. They're going to be hard to beat.
Three teams you've struggled to beat.
Well, you struggle to beat, yeah. But then the Rangers come into LCA. The Sabres come into LCA. The Caps come into LCA. So it's going to get harder. You had an easy stretch where you lost a lot of games that you should not have lost. Mm-hmm. And that's where instead of building up this bigger cushion, you have an 8-point cushion, you make it a 10, you make it a 12, you make it a 14 game cushion. You blew it all away. And now you're racing. And racing is maybe, does it make it more exciting? exciting might not be the word that I use. It makes it more stressful and more frustrating, I guess. But what you're seeing is that the Red Wings are now coming out with more jump. They're starting games on time. They're pushing hard. They played the hottest team in the league, which was the Predators, to a scoreless game very late into the third. This is the Red Wings playoffs right now. This is what shows you, are you built to go down the stretch? Can you take these games? Can you take over? Can you play consistent hockey? And I think what's encouraging to me is that it looks like they've realized their issue with starting on time and have turned it around. They're being more physical. Mo beat the shit. And I don't care how bad you think that fight was, where everyone was like, he didn't land a single punch. That's garbage. Mo beat the hell out of Forsberg.
After Forsberg had dropped the gloves and got in several cheap shots before Mo even took his gloves off.
It was a great first career fight for Mo Sider. And
who is apparently an ambidextrous fighter, by the way.
Yeah, he doesn't care what hand he's throwing. But it's that kind of thing that's going to keep them in it. Keep the energy up. Let them know that Mo's a young guy, and the young guys are the ones that are going to push this team forward and going to fight for position. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what you want to see this late in the season. And part of it was Larkin was gone, and they were defeated without Larkin. And again, people keep saying Larkin should get heart votes, because the difference between the team with Larkin and without Larkin is absolutely staggering. But that's what you want to see out of your guys, is just that fight and starting on time. And they've been starting on time. Mm-hmm. And all you need to fix now is the shot differential.
Yeah, especially the shot differential. But I think what's really been important tonight, in particular, and then the last game against the Predators, Alex Lyon looks like the on-fire Alex Lyon that we got so accustomed to.
He needed that rest.
He started coming in. Yeah. Reimer came in, did a job that he had to do. Was it enough to maybe reset Lyon? It seems like it, because he's now come in the last two games. Detroit's actually out shooting the Caps tonight, 27-19. After two. That's mind-blowing because of how the last, 3 weeks of hockey have gone.
Well, here you go, Ryan. 27-19. They're out attempting them 48-45, out chancing them 14-8, 12-7 slot shots. They're beating them in literally every category.
And they're only up one, but Lindgren has played a hell of a game. But so has Alex Lyon. And I think that what we've noticed really since with the Wings finally breaking out of the slump, if you will, is defensively, they played as a team again. Your defensemen haven't completely just threw their pants down around their ankles and kind of shuffled around the ice. You've got the forwards coming back. Like tonight in particular, after the first goal that Detroit let up for the Caps was terrible. DeBrincat had a terrible shift. I think Kane had a turnover throughout that process. The pass to DeBrincat led to a turnover, so they just did not look good. And when they came back defensively, they looked even worse. And the Capitals had a prime scoring opportunity right in the middle of the faceoff dot and scored. The next shift that they're out there, DeBrincat completely revamped, as well with Kane. Kane came back, had a huge back check after the puck got turned over in the offensive zone. It was like a light flip for that line. That is the type of stuff that we need to see more consistently. And I think that we have really the last three games that they've actually played performed better. But then that also speaks to what they're doing with the defensive effort as a whole, starting to see the pucks get clear to the corner more. We're not seeing them. It's still happening, but not as often, where it's just blindly trying to go up the board. We've been unlucky with it a few times so far tonight, I think, but it's also been a great play by the defenders from the Capitals to keep it in. Because of the way that they're playing in those key areas in front of the net, Lyon is back, it seems like, playing with that confidence that we saw for so long when they were winning and just more or less dominating on the ice. All those things have kind of re-clicked a little bit. And like you said, they're 2-1 since that March 17th tweet that I put out there, I think it was. So if they can limit those lulls, go on a couple game benders, they can do it, regardless of what the Capitals do.
So I think what Newsy had said, and it's a really good point, is that Alex Lyon is, and maybe it wasn't Newsy, but Alex Lyon was playing so well because the guys were playing calm and confident in front of him. Mm-hmm. And when the guys start playing more loose and scramble in front of him, that causes the goalie to scramble.
And that causes Reimer too.
It happens with every goalie.
There.
You feed off of the guys in front of you. If the guys are playing stout defense in front of you, that makes you more confident that if you're out of position a little bit, that they can cover for you. When you have Perron go in dead controller or disconnect in the corner, you're going to scramble more, and that's going to lead to more goals. So I think Lyon needed the same thing. He needed the reset so that you can clear your mind, your team can improve their game while you're not there, and then you get back into the groove once you come back. Your team knows that you're the guy. You know that the team in front of you has been playing better defense, and that you can just go back to the way you were playing. And again, this is the most games Alex Lyon has ever played. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone expected him to do what he's done this season. At one point, he was a top five goaltender in the league, which is absolutely crazy to me. But it's just keeping that confidence going forward for the remainder of the season. Because after this, you got, 10 games left after this? And it's crunch time, baby.
Yeah. And what's key, too, is we're entering that stretch where Lyon kind of took over for the Florida Panthers last season to help get them into the playoffs. This is now going to be that moment, make or break moment for him, and really Reimer. Because what happened with the Panthers, they kind of lost faith in Bob. He just was not playing well going into roughly the final month. Yeah, he took over into the playoffs after a couple games and led them to the cup final. If Lyon can have remotely close of an effort that we saw out of him last season with the Panthers, there's no reason why I can't see Detroit making it.
All right, Ryan, we're gonna cut this one short so we can watch the third period.
Appreciate
I just want to get your kind of keys to the remainder of the season and your final thoughts before we sign off here.
Keys to the remainder of the season is keep competing. And that really just rings home for tonight's game as well. Like, start on time, because we saw that tonight and it kind of set the tone. Yeah, the Caps came back out and were pushing pretty hard, but Detroit didn't fall apart because of it. They're doing things simple, keeping it and going. God damn it. And they've already been scored upon. And look at that. We don't keep it simple.
Yep.
And I
panic.
Think so much for everything we said about them being calm and collective in front of the net and clearing things out. I forget what the rest of my thought was. They just got to keep it simple. But also be like, play hard, because right now it's too inconsistent. They didn't start the series fast, and the Caps did with Ovi out there. He pushed that pace. You need someone to have that gear for you. And right now, there's just it's a roller coaster of emotion for it. So we'll see what happens. Already are in 33.
Yeah, I'm just going to say keep starting on time. You keep starting on time, you get the offense going, anything can happen. And again, our season and the cap season going forward is about the same as far as strength goes. So you've just got to outplay the team that is right on your heels, or actually you're right now on their heels. You just have to outplay them. Like Ryan said, you've got to find that extra gear and be able to push when the game is on the line. And hopefully that's what they do now, because it is it's a tie game. It's a 0-0 hockey game right now.
Yeah, this game needs to be won in regulation.
But you can follow me online at Bringing the Winning. Follow Grindline Podcast online at Grindline Pod. You can follow the Hockey Podcast Network at Hockey Podnet. We thank them for hosting us and spreading us around. Just check out Vintage Detroit, where we have our exclusive collection right now. And it is the only place you should get your Detroit jerseys from and worked on.
Yeah, no priority patch at Vintage, by the way.
Yeah, no, you will get your jersey just as God intended. You will get your Red Wings jersey.
Every single jersey has the priority patch. I finally saw it from my own eyes the other night, last week, and I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that's a blasphemy. But yeah, join us out there on opening day weekend for the Tigers. We'll be out there next Friday. Mm-hmm. You can come meet us, talk to us about the Red Wings, and we'll be chilling out there with the Vintage Detroit friends over at their location. But that April is going to do it for us tonight. So for Ryan, I am Greg. You stay classy, Hockey Town.